This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, French farmers fight for free funding. Say that three times fast. But first, the Iraqi prison abuse scandal shows no signs of disappearing. In fact, it may be widening. Over the weekend, two magazine reports charged that top members of the Bush administration signed off on aggressive interrogation plans. The reports say those plans, although not specifically endorsing the kind of abuse we've seen in the prison photos, may have created the atmosphere that allowed it to happen. Joining us, as he does every week, is Slate political writer Will Salatan. Hi, Will.
Hi, Madeline.
Let's start with the latest article by New Yorker writer Seymour Hersh. He writes that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld agreed to expand what's known as a special access program that was initially constructed for Afghanistan to Iraq last year. And basically, it gave special forces the freedom to interrogate prisoners as they saw fit. If this is confirmed, will it revive the calls for Rumsfeld to resign?
I don't think this is going to kill Don Rumsfeld immediately. This is more of a long-term problem than a short-term one, because all of these troops who have been implicated in the scandal at Abu Ghraib prison in Baghdad are going to be using as their defense the argument that these techniques were approved higher up. They came down through military intelligence. So this is going to be a lot like the O.J. Simpson trial, where the defense was to put the government on trial. That's what's going to happen here. And every one of these plans that was approved high up in the Bush administration is going to be cited in every one of these trials as the green light to the troops below to abuse prisoners.
So are we going to see more from the senators on the Senate Armed Services Committee looking into the testimony of Rumsfeld, the testimony of his undersecretary, Stephen Cambone?
The senators have already given very clear signals in comments so far that they don't believe this was just confined to a few out-of-control military police, that they think there were signals from above. And when they smell blood like that, then they're going to pursue it.
And, of course, the Pentagon has come out denying Hersh's article. A spokesman said, quote, "It was outlandish, conspiratorial, and filled with error and anonymous conjecture." And the statement said no official approved any program that could conceivably have been intended to result in such abuses. So is that the same as saying that Cy Hersh lied? The article was just wrong?
Oh, this is really a delicious example of one of these Washington denials that isn't really a denial. I mean, the statement from the Pentagon is full of all these absolute terms. No official approved any program that could conceivably have been. And all of a sudden, they dump in this lovely word, intended to result in such abuses. Well, you know, so in other words, they could have approved a program that resulted in such abuses, but we didn't intend it. Well, of course you didn't intend it. That's one of these denials that has this huge loophole in it that lets them out.
And another explosive magazine report out this week, this one by Newsweek, quotes White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez's legal opinion that he wrote after 9/11, saying the U.S. faced a new kind of war in which the Geneva Conventions did not apply. And it said that Secretary of State Colin Powell, quote, hit the roof when he heard about that opinion. What's the significance of that?
Well, both elements of that are significant. First of all, the fact that there was this legal opinion from Mr. Gonzalez is going to be yet another of these green lights that's going to be invoked as, you know, the reason why people down the chain of command thought they were at liberty to abuse prisoners. And the other part of it that's significant is the comment from Colin Powell. We're starting to see a lot of comments from Mr. Powell leaked out through the press. He just said, for example, on Meet the Press that the sourcing for some of his claims about Iraqi weapons of mass destruction, which he delivered in his speech to the United Nations last year, was, as he put it, inaccurate and wrong, and in some cases, deliberately misleading. And when asked about this, somebody who was described in the New York Times as an official close to Powell said, and he's out there publicly saying this now, this is a quote, because he doesn't want a legacy as the man who made up stories to provide the president with cover to go to war. Now, that is an incredible statement from someone close to Colin Powell to put out to the New York Times.
And there's more polling showing that President Bush's approval rating is dropping, this one by Newsweek, at 42%, his approval rating, the lowest point ever. I imagine the White House is pretty worried by these numbers.
Well, you know, they say they're not worried, but they have been running $50 to $70 million worth of ads very early in the campaign cycle. A lot of it very negative personal stuff about John Kerry. That is the kind of thing that political consultants tell politicians not to do, because it is at least as risky to the candidate running the ads as to the opponent. It's the kind of thing you do when you think there may be no other way to win the race. That has been the untold story of this election so far, that the Bush campaign has been running like a campaign that thinks it is almost certain to lose.
Opinion and analysis from Will Salatan. He writes the Ballot Box column for Slate. Thanks a lot, Will.
Thank you, Madeline.
And this is Day to Day from NPR News.